So it's called the Soma Christu, the Soma Christu, the Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. 2,000 years ago, launched by the Lord Jesus, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, that's an incredible launching. What nation, what organization, what group has ever been launched in that way? Obviously unique, obviously one of a kind in conception, in inception, and in the launching of all of it. Yes, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of the body of Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, you are a part of this body. You have been baptized with the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. 2,000 years, there is an incredible uniqueness about this body of Christ. I'm going to read you something. I put it on the website. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Shatter live broadcast on May 2nd, a Monday night, 2011. Here's what it says on the website. The series this week, The Corrupted, Compromise, Counterfeit, Corrupting, Emergent or Emerging Church, in contrast to the indestructible supernatural church that Jesus Christ is building, has commissioned, is empowering, and is coming for. Here's what I wrote. The word church is used in the New Testament well over 90 times. It is mainly used of the local visible church though the larger global body of Christ is clearly spoken of. It is of divine origin. It is truly the most spiritual and supernatural organization, actually I like to call it living body, on the face of the earth today. It has Jesus Christ for its founder, provider, builder. It has the indwelling presence of God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is birthed in the infinite love of God and involves all that redemption provides. And that alone is amazing and, listen, unequaled. It is the vessel that the living Christ lives in and through, and has its mission, as its mission, the goal of reaching every single person living anywhere and everywhere on the globe with the love of Christ, the gospel of salvation. The church is weak and strong, incredible, and at times sickening. It is, though, in the hands of its sovereign head, Jesus Christ. It has a massive mission. It can be incredibly powerful, and it is the only spiritual entity that hell itself would love to destroy. And if hell can't destroy it, and I believe the church is indestructible, it would love to compromise, corrupt, and counterfeit it. But why? Because Satan himself fights against the salvation of the souls of humanity. My question is, does the emergent or emerging church aid Satan's cause? Is it a vessel of dark spiritual corruption? What must we do? The emergent church or the emerging church or this change, this reframing, could it be the betrayal, a betrayal of Christ and its Judas kiss? Well, we're going to talk about it all this week on Shatter Live Broadcast and take a look at what's happening. Again, Rust is Dark, Shatter the Darkness Live. We have Monday night. This is the theme for Monday night. The corruption compromise of the emergent church. Or merging church, who is really guiding it? And does Rob Bell, you know, this is the guy that's the author now, and I've been reading through and listening to live audio of Rob Bell and his book, The Velvet Elvis and Love, you know, Wins. And I'm looking at all this, but I'm seeing an incredible a personal style, if not some deep-seated personal doubts that are corrupting the truth as revealed by Christ himself. What is the Velvet Elvis? Well, we're going to talk about that. The Ascended Masters. Now, the reason I bring this in, because once again, keeping my eyes on that, the impending danger, Colossians 4:2, and that's part of the body of Christ, to live out the gospel, to live out the love of God, to live out embracing individuals and bringing them to Christ and bringing healing and deliverance, food and shoes and shelter and deep relationship. Oh, yes, because of the love of Christ. No question there. But in the midst of everything, there's this issue that can also be involved in this reframing, changing, emerging, as one guy put it, possibly the term submerging church. Could it be, as the ascended master, the Tibetan, guided Alice Bailey back in the 1930s to write a book of sheer and total didache teaching of the demonic? It is called the externalization of the hierarchy, and there's a lot of content in there about how they will approach the church and reframe and change and bring kind of an evolutionary shift in every concept of the church, kind of, if I can say it this way, spiritually new age-ize it, change it, alter it, and that then would be the corruption, the compromise, and that would involve, well, clearly, the counterfeit. I want to welcome you to the live radio broadcast tonight. It's a Monday night, and we've got so many things that have gone on. Now, I got a call real quick from a good friend and was asking and bringing out some questions about the Pope and his being saint-ized or the sainthood being given to him. And during Walpurgis, that's pretty strange. Osama bin Laden, well, he's gone, supposedly dead. There's all kinds of conspiracy stuff coming out. And it is a worldwide phenomena. And all over the United States, other parts of the world, there were some celebrations. It's pretty strange that I watch that and see that. And there's massive celebration over what is considered a great enemy. And he's dead. And there's gladness. But I think in terms of the future and the two witnesses of God and eventually the beast that comes out of the abyss and kills them. And there's presence and celebration and global celebration and joy as God's global untouchable witnesses are eventually killed. Well, it seems like a great celebration until all of a sudden the same Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead raises them also from the dead. Listen, we are living in massive supernatural contrast, and there is spiritual confusion. Now, when I think in terms of the Velvet Elvis and what Rob Bell is trying to say in his books and materials about the emerging church, the emergent church, the changing church, the reframed church, the reformed church, and the transformational church, and all these terms, there's grave concern for all of us. Let me give you a principle. Methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, but principles never do. Let me say it again. Methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, but principles never do. Methods could be styles. The principle, the idea of principles, the Word of God, absolute truth, yes, from Christ, from God, that God has given revelation, that we've come under the lordship of Christ, that there is both His love, protection, and also authority. He is the sovereign head. And we yield our lives and our obedience to the living Christ, not just to our own personal satisfaction, not just to our own sense of enjoyment in this life, not to kind of pull out spirituality to give us our own personal designed experiences that may have nothing to do with the actual lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me ask the believer listening, and welcome, by the way, all those listening by satellite, and welcome all those listening by internet radio, and welcome tonight, days later, by the thousands of you downloading the archives all over the world, blessings in the name of Jesus Christu. And we're talking about the Soma Christu, the body of Christ, ecclesia, the church. As I said, over 90 times it's used in the scripture, primarily of the local visible church, but in reference to the entire body of Christ worldwide. Now, it's a fantastic thing to understand that the most incredible person that ever lived, ever born, died, and the way he died, his death and burial and resurrection, his ascension and declaration of a return. Now, this is all beyond anything else out there. And it's important that we understand in the spiritual counterfeits that seeks syncretism, that seeks to kind of mush everything together and scream for a kind of hellish toleration of everything except the ultimate truth of the lordship of God in human flesh, Christ, of salvation and all that it means. It is without question there is a spiritual energy, rage, a drivenness, even when it's masqueraded, that would have the audacity to leak into, bleed into the body of Christ and change everything with spiritual lethal intent. So it is important that we deal with what some of the movements out there are and what has occurred. In 2,000 years, the body of Christ, an incredible divine, I don't like to call it the institution, the living body, as the scripture calls it, a naos, a temple of God, as the scripture calls it. See, God defines it. God calls it. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, we're talking about Christ. We're talking about Emmanuel. We're talking about God in human flesh. It's all about the redemption and the supernatural, salvation. I'm not afraid of that word. It is probably the most glorious, incredible word in all of Scripture almost, because it involves the love of God for the entire world. It involves God's visitation here. It involves the sinless Christ. It involves God in human flesh. Think of the genetics of the incarnation. It involves the most incredible words and works and agenda. The cross and the words Jesus spoke while on it. And what he did to conquer sin and death and hell and Satan and separation from God. And salvation is all about the living Christ coming into our lives and the living Christ bringing what was provided, what was purchased, what was obtained by what he did at the cross. So don't ask me to be silent about that. Don't ask me to change the terminology. Don't ask me to change the meaning of salvation. Because it involves, dear friends, whether you are in Russia, Estonia, anywhere around the world, in China, God wants to save you. That means the living Christ wants to bring himself into your life. Bring total forgiveness and freedom. Bring absolute breaking to the rights that Satan does have over you if you're lost. You've got a death code inside. The wages of sin is death. What are you going to do about it? Well, at the cross, Christ conquered. By the resurrection, oh, the resurrection is glorious, though it seems to be watered down in this emerging, reforming concept of the body of Christ. And so when you begin to water down the very central issues, these very explosive revelation, this explosive, astounding grace of God, then that's a concern. Even being ashamed of it. I stand with the Apostle Paul in the sight of all of Rome and all of its massive political might, massive military might, massive, in that day, education, Pax Roma, all the rest of Rome. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. That includes you. Wherever you listen and whoever's listening, all those at Recon, those who think that you're the enemies of this program, well, I'm glad that you're here out on the field to be engaged. See, I know the Spirit of God is going to work. I know the Spirit of God is passionate about getting to every single human being. If we understand the full force of the revelation of God in Christ, the revelation of God in the cross, in the mission, in the power of God, as demonstrated in the book of Acts, Well, I tell you what. Why would you want to live in any way that would be ashamed of, grieve, quench, suppress this manifest mercy, grace, and might of God? Now, I understand something. Styles, methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, but principles never do. You know, as Rob Bell, the author of the book The Velvet Elvis, where he goes into this entire experience and it seems like a personal style, and there is a sense of deep rejection of what the old traditional, or at least what, again, it's hard to grasp it all. It's on the one hand, listening to and looking at literature and materials and declarations and videos and DVDs all about the reasons why we need this new emergent reformation transformational movement. If you're talking about the Spirit of God sanctifying the unchanging, glorious mercy, grace, might in God and God's mission, if you're talking about changing that, then I have to stand in absolute opposition, and by the order of Scripture, under the authority of Scripture, to expose this evil deed of darkness. You see, I'm very, very cautious. See, I see a train coming with all the explosive artillery of hell itself. It's roaring down the track. We're hearing the rumbling, feeling it in the air worldwide. We know catastrophic collapse is coming. So on the one hand, Colossians 4:2, devotion to prayer, being watchful, looking for the impending danger, looking to see what, as we explained in Ephesians chapter 6 a couple of weeks ago, that spiritual battle, your warfare is not against flesh and blood. Body of Christ, soma Christu, body of Christ, listen. The battle is not against flesh and blood. There are archai, there are exousia and cosmocrator and porneus pneumonikai. There are demon spirits in different function, type. I call it species. This type, Jesus said. And the ramping up is going to be so broad, so big, so wide, and the concept of planos spirits, 1 Timothy 4:1. They're imposters, and their goal is to deceive. Jesus said it, Matthew 24. So if we understand towards the end of days, the number one spiritual movement from hell is to bring massive seduction, massive deception, and even have the audacity to creep into, bleed into, in an incremental way, the body of Christ, to try to bring suppression, corruption, compromise, and counterfeit, to deceive the elect if that were possible. So for those out there that want the church to change, from what and into what is the question. From what and into what? Now, if we want to see sanctification, we can go to the book of Revelation. We can see where Jesus engages seven churches, what he doesn't tolerate. By the way, this week, Monday, as we're dealing with this one, Tuesday, Satanic Strategy, the five signs of emergent church, compromise, corruption, counterfeit, and what this emerging, reforming, transformational movement is in danger of. We want to deal with that Wednesday night. 10 signs of the body of Christ, the soma of Christu, the body of Christ. What are the book of Acts? What are these healthy pictures? So many people write me and say, what church do I go to? I live in Texas. I live in Michigan. I live in Canada. I live in Oslo. I live in Germany. What local church? See, the church, ecclesia, the called out ones, the body of Christ, the assembly of God, that's you and I. At the moment of salvation, you read it, 1 Corinthians 12, you've been baptized into the body of Christ with the Holy Spirit. The living Christ has come in, the gift of the Spirit has come in, and you've been baptized, placed into, and identified into the body of Christ. So where we begin is a deep study of those 90-some verses in the New Testament where church is mentioned. We need to look at the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We need to look at that as this massive, ultimate revelation of God is given to us. So take a look there first. Before we talk about changing, rejecting, we need to get under the lordship of the living Savior who died to bring the creation of and the founding of and the inspiration of and the, birthing of the body of Christ, the church. We have to understand that when he says, I will build my church, it is in the direct context and the gates of hell, the already existing worldwide existence of the structure, the presence of hell, of all of Satan's array, as he gained rights in the fall of the human race, and as it has spread worldwide. Listen, in the midst of the entrenched, embedded satanic presence, the full force, the gates of hell, Jesus is going to launch the church. If you're in Christ, if you're born of the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And God may have you be listening now that you might hear, maybe you reject Christ because you use the devil's argument. Well, the body, the church is all hypocritical. It's all an institution. It's all, you know, maybe you've seen mankind's corruption. But God's never asked you to look at the church. The church is not the Savior. The church didn't go to the cross. The church is made up of human beings like you and I that have heard the message, been gripped by God, and responded to the summons of the love of God. God says, I love you. God says, I want you. God says it is his will to be saved. Well, Timothy chapter 2. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills pos anthropos, all humanity, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants you. Yes, it's doctrine. Yes, it's about a spiritual battle. Yes, it's about sin and separation and hell and the realities of deep, radical evil. And the realities that there are going to be those, as there are right now, that absolutely don't want God, going to spit in the face of God, trample the blood of Christ. And Rob Bell, if you're listening, and Rob Bell, those who've read the new book, Love Wins, so sad, there is a hell. There is, yes, an eternal separation. And there may be some listening right now that needs to hear that you're already lost. It's already sin in your life. You've already got the death code. You are already separated. What are you going to do about that? You can't go out and get some New Age crystals and rub them together and say, that's going to make me have the right to get into heaven. What are you going to do? You're going to go out and just walk little ladies across the street and say, I did some good works, therefore, God, you owe me. Really? Did that take care of the sin issue? Did that take care of the separate? Did the Spirit of God and the Spirit of life, did the gift of indestructible immortality come into your very being? That only happens when the living Christ comes in, because he loves you. Ultimately, out of doctrine and teaching and what God did and all of this description of the fix of God, salvation, it's about relationship. And he is coming again for one reason, to get us so that we can be with him where he is. Yes, ultimately, it's all about relationship. Even in the body of Christ, there is relationship. First, under the lordship of Christ, God first. And that then flows right to the neighbor. Right next to that is loving one another, as Jesus commanded. You see, I have learned that it doesn't have to be movements and emerging reformations and transformations that teach me what the Word of God already says. I don't need anybody to compromise what Jesus did and said. I don't need anybody to tell me to suppress it, to hide it, to reform it, to dampen it down so as not to offend the rest of the world, because we want to tolerate anything and everything ultimately. Really? In Canton, Ohio today, there was an attempted abduction. Again, of a grade school girl. Incredibly, as she was being, while they were attempting to grab her, she literally let out a kick. She kicked the guy in the right place and ran and got away. Radical evil is here. And if you don't understand the depth of the other side, then you don't understand the reasons for the death of Christ, for the virgin birth, for the blood being pure, the blood of God shed at the cross. There is massive spiritual effect. That's why the demons hate it. Such a manifestation of God in that context. So don't ask me to be silent. Don't ask me to be quiet about it. Don't ask me to quit talking about it. I don't need to talk about something new and different and emerging that sounds good to the world. I can tell you what has happened in my life. Jesus Christ saved me. He came into my life. I know him. Now, when I'm reading all this literature, I'm reading these books, I'm listening to the material, I'm listening to audio from Rob Bell, I'm reading books from Rob Bell, McLaren, all the other ones, and those who are opposed to them, and I'm in the mix of all of this reading, but also seeing that it's not just the emergent church, the emerging church, and the Reformation, and the transformational. I also see the New Ages approach as it bleeds into, little by little by little, coming in the back door at times, just like the demonic entity spoke to Alice Bailey in the 1930s about how to reframe the church, reframe terms, use the same terms, but make a different meaning. When they say Christ, they don't mean God in human flesh who died on the cross. They mean a cosmic, fake, de-deified, well, a being that you can't even know and can't help you. When they say church, they're meaning the brotherhood of man and the idea of love, kind of like David Icke, kind of like Michael Dodd in Evolutionary Christianity, where he denies the virgin birth and the deity of Christ, all in this great celebration of the evolving universe. It's amazing how you can exchange the glory of God for created things. Can I stop a moment? Can I ask you, as simply a human being, a believer, just a man that knew what I was in the 60s and the early 70s and knew what I was into. Man, I was checking out all kinds of spirituality and all kinds of stuff. I was really literally a Woodstock kind of guy. Then a Buddhist, or trying to be. But it wasn't until somebody came to a party where we had Black Sabbath and Blue Oyster Cult and just rocking in the place, vibrating the walls as people were doing acid and smoking dope and drinking, packed out apartments. Thought it was really cool, thought it was really good, even though a guy died 2 weeks prior, too many sopers and drinking beer. His heart slowed down. He died. The other guy, he was out, couldn't wait for any other drugs, so he took the can of Pam, went out to the woods, sprayed it in the bag, breathed it in. His lungs eventually stuck together in his exhaling. He died there in the woods. Pharmacon, drugs. This man unleashed Christ. He came into the room. He came into a party. He invaded our space. He walked into my house. He walked into the party. The black metal music was playing. Drugs were flowing. Marijuana smoke was deep in the air like a fog. And a bright light pierced through the front door. and a man named Steve walked in and began to tell the first person he saw, Jesus Christ loves you, and unleashed Christ. And if you don't come to Christ, yes, you can possibly go to hell, and Jesus is here to come into your life, and he'll bring you the power of God and his passion and his compassion and his love and his desire to see us saved was big. But we were all lost. That sin nature that's hostile to God, Romans 8, we are all running from him, mad at him, trying to hide. I've shared this story before. I know some of you heard. Many of you have not. But we all tried to run from him. He cleared out the party. He ruined everything that night. He ruined hell's party. Wonder who would have died that night. Who would have taken sopers and drunk? Who would have taken some Pam? I wonder what would have happened. I wonder. I really do. What would have happened that night? So let me ask you, do you really want me, an individual 36 years ago that knows the very night, in the middle of the night, the pressure, the joyful, but at the time, the pressure, the calling, the summons of the Spirit of God. The conviction, I looked at my life. Maybe like some of you, my life was lost and empty in sin, and all the spirituality and all the spirits I was into, and the pictures of demons on posters on my wall with coming out of ritual circles, and all the things I had in that basement, and the hits of acid and the marijuana hidden, and the parties that were in my own basement. I thought I got away from that guy, but I drove clear over to my mom and dad's home, stayed there, left my apartment. I don't know who closed the doors that night. I didn't care. I was running away from God. I was running away from Christ. See, it wasn't a matter of any emergent church, changing church, reformed church. It wasn't a matter of any, it was a matter of Christ, the living Christ. This man that came in, there was no corruption, there was no compromise, there was no counterfeit. It was I knew spirituality, but what he had was something I'd never seen before. It was pure, it was holy, it was clean, it was loving, it was compassion, but it was convicting to my ugly sin that I had in my life. It was convicting. For many of you listening, there might be conviction. That's good. That's the Spirit of God showing you the death that is in you, the hell-bound death code and sin and separation that is in you, only to show you Christ and what he did at the cross, only to show you the living Christ and what he's done for you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what he's done. His blood for yours. His life for yours. The exchange. Now, I read a lot of materials today, but I didn't hear a lot about the centrality of Christ. I didn't hear anybody talking about, wow, Jesus Christ is my Savior, my Lord. He is awesome. He is the one that brought love into my life. He forgave me, and he changed my life. I didn't hear any of that today. Talk about God as if there's distance, kind of like Paul Tillich in the old far out, God is dead type theologians, God talk. Or like Boltman, the demythologizing of scripture and trying to remove things and reform things and change things. And because somebody's personal life isn't willing to receive the total awesome revelation of God, you can't get any bigger. You can't make it better. You can't broaden it. You can't do anything more. It's about the reception of the infinite, immeasurable, the living God in all that he is, all the depth of his love. If you care about loving, and listen, New Agers and others, that, well, it's all about love. You know what? Whose love? Not counterfeit, just like counterfeit light. It is about the love of God. God so loved the world. Could there be a bigger love than that? Broader love than that? A love that would involve the incarnation of God in human flesh. The living out of a life that would involve the defeat of sin, Satan, death, separation, hell, all of it. Oh, he experienced the agony for us. It's incredible. Could you imagine a New Ager wanting to exchange that for finite, counterfeit, spiritual experiences and powers and works. Could you imagine the Soma Christu, the body of Christ, anyone in it, anywhere, leaders, wanting to exchange the glorious mercy, grace, this pulsating, manifest love of God in Christ for something watered down, a changing of terms? Oh, I have no problem with stripping off what is not the Word of God. I have no problem. That's what Jesus was dealing with in the seven churches. We'll talk about that this week. We'll talk about on Wednesday, the 10 signs. Thursday, God's zero toleration of counterfeit spirits, signs, and workers. About spiritual corruption in the body. We're going to talk about Friday night, a blazing, powerful church. A lot of people are mad at the church today. A lot of people won't go to, quote, a church. And I've got to tell you this. I begin this with a reminder from the Scripture. A reminder. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Saul of Tarsus began to destroy the church, going from house to house. That is where they were meeting. They were meeting house to house, temple courts. There were churches that were being initiated. Again, everybody knows the church. I mean, we got to know this. It's not a building. I go to a church with a few thousand, and they've got an incredible, functional, good, big building. I've been to house churches, mission churches. We've had services out in parks, in backyards, all over the place. You know, we've been in ministry experience in so many places. It has nothing to do really with the place per se. It's not about candles and ambiance and video and slides and non-slides or robes or haircuts or style of shoes. We've got to understand that we don't have the right to enculturate, to take our personal style, even nationally, or our lineage. We don't have the right to take that in and change the body of Christ to fit our personal mold. Even when it comes to methods, even when it comes to, well, let's use a Christian concert to reach out to the lost. Okay, let's use a baseball game where we preach the gospel at the end. Okay, let's use a movie night. Okay, let's use video. Okay, you know what I'm doing? I'm using a method right now. Satellite, maybe thousands and thousands of you are listening. Internet, maybe thousands and thousands of you are listening. Archives, thousands, 90 countries of the world. I'm using a method. Methods are many, principles are few, methods always change, but principles never do. The Word of God, the Lordship of Christ, salvation, the virgin birth, the Trinity, all of these, what some would call doctrine, it's the living revelation of God. I've got a few thousand theology books, and I love studying it and engaging while I do it, though, in the relational presence of Jesus, of doing this in the context of talking to him and wading through. It has helped me to see what shouldn't be in the body of Christ, what God has never instituted in the body of Christ. Let me say to the Catholic system, there is no Pope, by the way. There's a lot of things we've done. Whenever we enculturate, you know what that is? That we take the culture, the political ideology, the political systems, we take the systems of the day, and sometimes we fuse that, if the church isn't strong enough, if the church isn't wise enough to stay in its own spiritual structure, to allow the world to come into and enculturate the church. Romans 12 says about presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to God. It tells us very clearly to don't let the patterns of the world, you know, to be molded by that. In 1 John, we're told, and the word world is used, cosmos, the fallen world system. Don't take the fallen world system and infuse some of its ideologies and so forth into the church. And there are political systems in Russia, China, many other places around the world. There are some that by its own spiritually embedded political ideology, Arab countries, that doesn't even want the body of Christ to exist. There are atheistic communist backgrounds that in the past with horrific evil persecuted the church. We can find this all around the world. We can find it all around the world. We need to understand that the church, the body of Christ, the Soma Christi, that it has three primary battlefronts. The world as a fallen system in all of our nations, whether you're in Russia or Germany or France or Spain or England or Canada, on and on, China, wherever you're at. The fallen world system in its drivenness, especially now towards Luciferic globalism, it's being embedded worldwide. That's the satanic agenda. That's the goal. And so as it keeps moving, as the fallen world system moves in that direction, there should be a broader separation. And there will be a critical mass. I mean, there will be a clear contrast. There should be. We're called to be not of the world. We're in the world. We're sent by Christ into the world to reach the world. And visible local churches are formed by the Spirit of God to do all the ministry of the living Christ. It's pretty simple, really. It doesn't have to become some kind of massive, institutional, big, hierarchical, you know, conglomerate, spectator-oriented, dead clog. The world. As Scripture defines, as the Spirit of God defines, to be unpolluted, to not be molded by the patterns, not to allow the church to be enculturated by certain styles, even methods. When I was in school down in Kentucky, when we had ministry and some of the Love in Action vans were taking Christian students up into the hills, they got to one area, they didn't know it offhand, they weren't allowed, and especially girls, you couldn't wear shorts. They brought out their guns. And you got to understand that methods, if molded by the fallen world system, by the flesh, sin nature, or by the devil himself, will bring compromise, corruption, and even counterfeit within the body of Christ. The world system, leaders, and this is the history, 2,000 years. Catholics need to understand this. When you have unsaved leadership, they're not even born again. They're political, they're militaristic. There's religion on an outward sense, but not born of the Spirit of God, not under the living lordship of Christ, which usually then leads to the negation of the simple mission of Christ to reach every single human being with the love of God in Christ, seeking to lead them to Jesus in salvation. God's not willing, passionately, he's not willing that anybody perish. God loves the entire sum total of the world. So much so is God committed to his mission to the world that the return, visible return of Christ will not incur until this message of God gets to every nation, tribe, language, people group, the whole globe. But there's a battle in the midst. A church launched right into Hell's Kitchen to the embedded legal rights of a spiritual system that opposes God and seeks to evolve its own agenda and then bring its events. That's why I said, I hear the train a-coming. It's coming down the tracks. Hell's train sent from the center, it's coming. The agenda is developing. And the events that will shock in all the world, the chaos that leads to a new order. By the way, I got a message this week. I think I talked about it and read some of it. And afterwards, again, a young man tries to call me from Oregon, a student, and the demonic presence in him takes over. I might do a special show and maybe bring out and play what he, I mean, it was recorded. He called in and he tried to talk and the demonic presence or subpersonality. It's pretty strange. We're living in a time where we need spiritual purity, spiritual faithfulness, and listen, spiritual fullness in Christ. If you're talking about methods, you don't want pews, you want to be able to sit on the floor, no problem with that. If you're saying, we want to be able to wear blue jeans and no shoes, we want to go barefoot, or we want to wear suits and ties. You know, there's, again, methods and styles have really nothing to do. Don't use what God didn't sanctify to become central in the church. This is what brings the hypocrisy and corruption and everything else. Jesus Christ, there's no hypocrisy there. There's a purity of the love of God, the truth of God, the will of God, and the reality of sin, Satan, hell, heaven and earth, all the rest embodied. And with him, there's no problem. Take a look at Jesus. How would he fit the emergent or emerging or reforming or the transformational concepts that are going out there? Is he really pushed to the side while personal, stylistic, and even personal portions of the belief systems are being pushed? You see, when I read Rob Bell's Velvet Elvis, the book that he wrote and the new ones that's out that looks like very clearly that, oh, how could there be a God that would allow there to be a hell? Really? Are we now going to educate God? Are we now going to say, God, move over, let me get to the chalkboard, let me instruct about what love is and why we need no hell? What we're going to sing now? Is the emerging church going to sing John Lennon's Imagine There's No Heaven? Imagine There's No Hell Below Us? I'm not seeing anything in the writings here concerning the concept of spiritual warfare. I'm not seeing any of the materials here that deals with the reality of the end of days and the urgency and the concern where there is no spiritual discernment, where there's only a casting of doubt over the scripture, a casting of doubt over the Trinity, a casting of doubt over the virgin birth, a casting of doubt over the term salvation, a casting of doubt. Why do we, you know, I hear all this doubt and then the creation of doubt and then a reframing. My concern is this. In the garden thousands of years ago, the fallen cherub shows up. He casts doubt. Yea, hath God said. He casts doubt on God, his character, his word, the very word of God. He casts doubt. That's the methodology. That's the methodology of the fallen cherub, of the entire demonic realm. Cast doubt on it, get people weakened and doubting and questioning, and then reframe it and bring in an alternative. What is the alternative? A promise of an evolutionary development spiritually to godhood? That's what happened in the garden. And when there was a spitting in the face of God, rejection of the word of God, a release, something happened in the core of humanity. DNA, heart, structure, we changed. The death code came in, sin code, an operative presence came in, and we were separated instantly. A dying with the ultimate goal of the physical body, dying and rotting and going into the ground with the possibility of eternal separation. If you're listening right now and just checking things out, if you don't have the gift that God wants you to have, how are you going to get yourself fixed? What do you do with the actual wrong? You can call it dysfunction. You can call it wrong, sin. Greek word in the New Testament, hamartia, a missing of the mark. Though there are other Greek words and many other Hebrew words that describe the willful and wickedness that can come out of our hearts. Look at the world around us. Look at how some live by the sword and die by the sword. In the body of Christ, and by the way, on the website, we have PDF file notes. We have a, I think, 17-minute overview of this entire week called the minicast. It's all there on the website, shadowthedarkness.net. And so we're going to engage what looks to be a massive and even now multinational, if not worldwide, goal of transforming the church, reforming the church, emerging the church, but from what and into what? And whose mission is it? Who's guiding that? See, the church has always had to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. All the way in the beginning, you're the body of Christ, church. Listen, believers, Jesus said, I will build my church. If you're born again, a believer in Jesus Christ, you are part of the Soma Christi, the body of Christ. And that is the church. That is the ecclesia, the called out ones. Called out assembly, God's people. And if you are, then you need to understand that within the church, it's the same with you individually. You, on an individual basis, have to deal with the world around you, not to be conformed by its patterns or influenced or taken away by all of its junk and philosophies and political ideologies, all of that which brings opposition to God, etc. Don't let the world suck you in. Secondly, the old flesh nature, though that sin nature has been rendered powerless, Romans 6, though you've been set free at the roots, Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has permanently set you free from the law of sin and death. You're set free. And now there is this indwelling of the Spirit of God, the new nature, the dynamic new nature, this power of God dwelling in you. 2 Peter chapter 1, his divine power has given us everything we need for Zoe and Eusebia, life like Christ and devotion to God. You have greater power within you as a believer to live wonderfully, deeply than you probably realize. But it's the world and it's the old flesh temptation that wants to bring in your life and into the body corruption. Look at the Corinthian church. Did it have corruption, compromise, and counterfeit? Was it possible, 1 Corinthians 12, that from the temple of Delphi, people getting saved, that some counterfeit gifting was coming in? Is it very clear that there's moral corruption, in the flesh corruption, worldly corruption, and compromise in the Corinthian church? Yet it's addressed by the Spirit of God through Paul, as a church, as saints, with all these giftings, but it needed to clean up the corruption. It needed to clean up the compromise. It needed to deal with any kind of counterfeit tongues and counterfeit oracle prophecies and only have what is from God. And so when I say, if we're talking about seeing revival God's work in the body of Christ, well, there is a cleansing and a sanctification that God is always doing in our lives. That will happen during this 1 hour as you listen. As the Spirit of God brings conviction that we don't have any sin stuff in our life that we know of, any corruption, what about compromise? What about anything counterfeit? In one local church, I saw where they were putting up wind catchers and all these, you know, the things that deal with ancestral spirits and whatever else. They didn't know. A lot of churches, they have no idea about Easter eggs and putting them out, the fertility goddesses and whatever else, the backdrop of that. They have no idea. So the Spirit of God is always seeking to, in our lives, draw us to be more and more like Christ, empower us to do more and more the works of Christ. There's no greater works than the works of Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, will work internally, as the Word of God will work externally, yet internally also, to drive out corruption, to drive out compromise, to drive out anything counterfeit. And that would be true in the local bodies if the purity and systematic revelation of God is poured out, if we're meeting under the lordship of Christ, if we can look into our churches right now and say, you know what? Is there anything of the world, anything that we've allowed to, of just methods and styles to water down and compromise and squeeze out the power, the mercy, the might, the work, the works, and all of what God wants to do? Are we under his lordship? Are we under the yield? Listen, when I go, is the living presence of Christ. I'm going to go over 10 specific evidences of what a healthy local body can be. That's what's going to happen. We're going to do this in a couple of days. So please come on back. But we got to ask the question in any kind of movements that are out there that are saying, get rid of this, casting doubt on the virgin birth and the Trinity, on the Word of God, on kind of eliminating. Well, let's get rid of all the religious terms. Let's don't use the word salvation. Let's don't use the word born again. Let's don't use the word sin. Let's don't use the word devil. Let's don't talk about hell. What gives you the right to push God off the throne and decide what revelation of God will be unleashed and what won't? God knows how to save people. He knows how to love people. Just look at Jesus. So we ask the question, who's guiding the movements? No question, if you look at the biblical revelation, the Spirit of God's revelation in Scripture, that the dark side will seek to infiltrate and bring corruption and bring compromise and bring counterfeit. Look at the church of Sardis, once alive, now dead, almost ready to die out. But Christ gives the invitation to repent, to remember what you have received, what you have heard, and obey it. Even the church of Laodicea, its self-appraisal was so blinded. Jesus said to its own self-appraisal, you don't even realize I'm on the outside knocking to see if anybody wants me in. You don't even realize that you're poor, blind, pitiful, naked. Look what Jesus says to the church of Laodicea. Notice out of the seven churches at the end of each one, that we're to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. The Spirit of God uses the revelation of those seven churches to speak to any possible corruption, compromise, and counterfeit so that we can stay pure, faithful, and unleashing the fullness, the absolute fullness of Christ. So the question is it the Spirit of truth guiding, leading, as the Spirit of God led prophets and prophecy and Scripture and Christ and the cross? Spirit of God leads into salvation in the fullness of God and the fullness of his love, so overwhelming. Or is it the spirit of error? 1 John, read it deeply tonight. Read it all this week. And then towards the end of the week, I'm going to encourage you to read Jude. Contend for the faith. Methods are many. Fine, change methods, but never the principles. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Listen, keep us in your prayers. Keep us in support. Blessings.